emergency. The sirens need to go down. To get the sirens down. Oh, Bo ran.
Nick,
did you
I
run?
I ran here, Nick. I'm exhausted.
Ran.
I saw here.
You ran on 27th Street in Lincoln to get over here because it's an emergency podcast. Casey Thompson has entered the transfer portal. I guess, real quick, there's been little like, you know, I've told you, I'm a guy that likes to listen to a lot of things. I listen to a lot of radio shows. I listen to podcasts. And I listen, you know, to guys like Mitch and Sam and Sip and those guys. And like, there's been all of a sudden this chatter over the course of the last couple weeks of like, well, if Casey sticks around. And I was like, where is this coming from? You know, and then so when the news hit, in some ways, I felt like because it had been kind of discussed, I wasn't as astonished by it. But nevertheless, it is a little like, I mean, it's enough for you to run down 27th Street to my house for an emergency pod. Like, your yeah, he cut his breath. Give me your first, like, you get the news, you go, what?
I am surprised by this because he knew he was sitting out the spring. Right. He knew once Sims came, yeah, like, we understand, like, maybe, like, what's new in this scenario other than, like, did he just see the way Sims played? Or what happened between start of spring to the end of spring that made Casey Thompson now feel like this is not the place for me?
That's a great question. Because I guess I hadn't thought about that.
Because to me, like, we didn't just sign a new guy or he didn't just compete against Sims and like, oh, I'm number two right in the depth chart. It's like nothing was new in terms of what Casey Thompson has done other than like he got to watch Sims go through a spring.
That's a good – you're right. Nothing about the circumstances have really changed, yet his decision has changed. And I just – again, without, and so you're left with like, you know, this is like a whodunit, and you got like a board with like different things, and you're trying to connect dots, and you have to kind of like, okay, well, was it a scenario where it was a combination of Sims must have had a pretty good spring to the point where Casey somewhat saw the writing on the wall, for lack of a better term, or maybe Rule arrived at a different opinion here.
So this is one thing I was, you know, thinking about right when I hear the news was like, okay, how much is it Casey feeling like this isn't the fit? How much is it like Casey doesn't think he's going to be physically ready to compete? How much is it system not being there? Or how much is it potentially Matt Rule? Is there a chance Matt Rule doesn't think that Casey being there is a positive? That's the tricky one that I don't know, because my gut says you always want two quarterbacks.
Right.
You always want to have competition.
Right.
But is there a chance that Matt Rule doesn't want Casey there?
I mean, I think that's everything's on the table for me right now in terms of what has unfolded. Like, because there's a lot of, I think from a simple standpoint to explain, because I do think there's a world in which everybody could act like there's a trial. Everybody could take the witness stand and give their testimony, and it would all make sense.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand to a certain degree why Casey makes the decision that he did. Now, I'm with you on the timeline of this. I could also understand Rule, how he would lay it out, how it would make sense. My guess is Casey Thompson wanted a guarantee he'd be a starter, and, you know, at age 24 in his last year of college football, and Rule either couldn't do that or wouldn't do that, maybe even said, hey, Sims is the guy now, so I think you're better off going somewhere else if you want to, you know, make sure you're on the field.
Okay, so that's an interesting take. The take of we saw Sims for a spring. Rule and Casey maybe have a discussion. I mean, this is all total speculation.
Yeah,
right?
Again, because that's all we can.
Well, like, these are the things that could potentially happen is, yeah, maybe they have a conversation and the conversation doesn't go the way Casey wants it to go.
Right. Because at the end of the day, Casey's 24 years old.
Yeah.
He's not – we talked about this when on the front end on whether or not Casey was going to stay or not. You figured Casey was not going to – Casey didn't want to spend his final year in college football, if he wasn't going to go try the draft or whatever, sitting on the sideline.
Yeah.
He wants to find a guaranteed starting spot.
Yeah.
And maybe the only thing that has changed is the guarantee of that spot. Maybe rule said, you can compete, I can't guarantee anything, or rule said, this is Sim's spot. Okay, he has earned it. And
yeah, you know, last year, Casey came in and it was like, this is his spot. Like, yes. It was his deal.
Kind of like how Adrian Martinez was at Kansas State.
Yeah.
You know, like,
we knew it was, and I think that's probably, yeah, that's hard when you got 1 year to go. Now, let me ask you this question. Casey has transferred once. What are the rules for the second transfer? I thought there was a sit-out period
right. Required
for a second transfer. But I guess he's also got the coach change.
The coach change, I think, is one of the
get out of jail.
I know that's not the right term for it, but everybody's going to jail. It's a criminal trial, all that stuff. But yeah, one of the rules, I think, within the transfer thing is if there's a coach change, you can go and be eligible right away. But
remember Garcia Castaneda, he went in quick because I thought that was his window.
It was more about him maintaining the year of eligibility
than
it was him being able to be eligible right away.
You're right. You're
right.
So that
I think
be.
It's that. I always think it's tricky when a new staff comes in, things are tricky. As you dealt with it, I've dealt with it.
Yeah.
Like, it's tricky where I think we can talk about it now. My guess is Kevin Cosgrove and Bill Callahan had all intentions of starting Steve Octavian.
Sure, yeah.
And you just beat him out. Like, just flat out beat him out. And I bring that up to When a new staff comes in and you get their hand-picked guy, especially when he's a quarterback, Jeff Sims is Marcus Satterfield and Rule's hand-picked guy, and I think Sims fits what they want to do better, a.k.a. I think there's going to be a pretty prominent component of a quarterback run game, which isn't necessarily what Casey does best. Like, there's a world where all this kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Where Rule's going, listen, this is our handpicked guy. He fits what we want to do. We're going to go in this direction. I don't know.
I think.
And the worst thing you want is, last thing, and I'll throw it back to you, but the worst thing you want, sometimes, you know what's not, it's good to have two quarterbacks, but what's not good is to have a rock star backup quarterback that maybe some of the fans are wanting him out there.
Yeah, it's. That's the part that's tricky, and there's no perfect answer. I lean towards, man, it's good to have two quarterbacks, because if one goes down, it's like season's over if you don't have the other guy. But yeah, man, I'm wondering if this QB run game is going to be a bigger part of this team than we maybe have previously thought. And you look who left. Torres is out.
Yep.
Casey doesn't really want to run the ball.
No, he can run, but he doesn't want to.
Doesn't want to do it. And the three guys between Sims, Heine, and Chuba are kind of all...
can run, especially Heine and Sims.
Yeah, Chuba, just as we said, like, he's scrambling all day.
Every second of every day, dude is just scrambling.
He's
in the produce section of Hy-Vee right now. Like,
God.
I got a banana. I'm down. Doesn't make any sense. But I think
Chuba's in the mess hall, like, where's my class? Oh, it's 2 minutes till class. I'm gonna be late. He's
at all
scrambling.
Times. He is, dude, overslept. he can't believe, he looks at his clock.
Oh, no.
Like, oh God. Then some sort of like song kicks in and he's just, he's running out the door.
Scrambling.
His mom's like, don't you want breakfast? Mom.
Sorry.
3rd and 7.
I'm late again.
Okay, but no, I think if there is one take, like, I read into this, like, they're going to run the quarterback. And again, right now there's a vacuum of information. We're just filling it.
Yeah,
we're trying to fill it with what we can at this point. I brought this up, and I can't remember if I said this to you or not. I know it was a solo pod I had. I think Matt Rhule unintentionally can sometimes provide a really, he's almost honest to a fault when he gets in front of the media. Like he, I do, as much as like there's, you know, like deep rooted things he's saying that are like really philosophical, like I think sometimes he just straight up tells you what's going on.
Yeah.
I think there was a window into how he viewed the quarterback situation months ago. Every time he would get asked about the quarterbacks, he would always mention that he thinks Jeff Sims is an NFL quarterback.
Oh my God, that's so true.
And with Casey, he would rarely, if ever, really elaborate on him. And this is coming from a guy in Matt Rhule that is not shy to gush over certain players publicly and in a press conference setting. So it, you go back and just listen to his press conferences. Listen, every time the quarterback situation got brought up, or some or a question about Jeff Sims, a question about, like, it was, I think Jeff Sims is going to be an NFL quarterback one day. And then he would kind of like, yeah, Casey's obviously played a lot of football. And you're like, okay, like,
it's not
overtly telling you.
He's not gushing. Like, that's the thing is, if he's a gusher and you're the guy he's not gushing about, we take notice.
Yes.
We just kind
of, that's a good way to put it. Because he is a gusher. He's a little bit of a gusher for people.
Yeah. You know, every recruit. Oh, the, you know.
Yeah.
And then, like, Jeff Sims. I mean, Jeff Sims might as well just went to the draft after the.
Right.
Casey Thompson, who is a dang good player.
He's yes.
a good player. And so, I don't know. A part of me almost wonders, like, I like Casey's game. And I think he's tough. I don't know that I ever felt like that he had the hearts and the minds of the team. He's their guy. Like they love him
and more.
They'll die for him. I think they respect Casey.
I think
everybody respects him. But I don't know if he had that sort of like connection with the team. Where I think it's harder to be dismissive of the guy that has. So maybe that was easier for Rhule to kind of be like, if he didn't feel like Casey had the hearts and minds of the team, it's easier to
part ways. Yes,
easier to be like, we like Jeff Sims.
Yeah, because I would agree with that. I certainly did. It certainly didn't feel like he was disliked,
not at all,
or anything like that. But you didn't, for a starting quarterback, that you didn't get the feeling like the whole team would have taken a bullet for him.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
But
they respected him.
I think he's a guy that he came in, he did the job. He worked hard. He's tough. I don't know that he ever felt like he found his where it's like, hey, this is the guy for the team. He's the leader. He's
right.
Our guy.
I agree.
You know, and he was there for a year. He's a bit of a mercenary, right? He's a hired gun. He was like O'Shawn Mathis. He's the hired gun, right? Like, we brought in the hired gun to kind of take over and, you know, righten the ship. And I think he did that.
Oh, I think he absolutely did that.
But, like, to be sort of in this position a year later, I think it's – I wonder if that played any part of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially – it was also a weird year, you know?
Super
it shows
weird.
Up – You know, I mean, it's like Frost gets fired, then Mickey's the interim head coach, Whipple is the OC, then, it's just a lot. There was a lot of instability.
Oh, gosh.
And it was a weird 12 months for him. I also, in Rhule's defense, like, it is a tough, he's in an interesting spot. Because like you said, like, I think there's this part of, I would think every coach, you want as many capable quarterbacks on your roster as humanly possible.
Yeah.
But I do think Rhule is sincere in how he positions himself of being like someone that is going to be pro player and honest with the player and wants what's best for the player.
Yeah.
Like, this could be an example where Rhule put what's best for Casey above what's maybe best for the team.
Yeah.
Like, he could have gone in there and massaged things in
you're
a way,
have a real good chance.
Hey, listen, man, you're 24 years old. You've been through the wars. I feel comfortable with you out there. Like, there was a way to say things. Now, it's harder to bullshit a 24-year-old.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Where I think Casey probably wanted to Tom Cruise him. It's like, did you order me as a starting quarterback?
Did you make me the starter? No,
I did not. Is that what this is about, Casey?
Is that what this
QB
is?
QB sneaks and depth charts, huh?
I'm going back to my office. You, Coordinator Satterfield. This is about...
Who can do this? You, Donovan Raiola. You, Satterfield.
But, you, Logan Smothers.
Can you do it? Sorry. But there was a... Like, he could have... I also... There's so many different tape. I mean, this is like, we're recording this. It's like 1 o'clock here. So this kind of just hit.
Yeah.
I think this is maybe I think Rule's probably really honest with him. And sometimes you got to live with the results of honesty, not necessarily falling your way. Like I cannot wait to, I'd love to know what Rule really thinks of this.
I mean, you got to think in the next day or two, there's going to be somebody between Rule and Casey is going to try to explain. It's just too big of a story that, like, somebody's going to explain, hey, just, you know, it was mutual, or, hey, you know, just didn't feel like the opportunity was here, or, you know, you name it, right? Like, there, somebody's got to say something. So I'm just excited to – I mean, not excited. I'm just curious to see –
I'm really curious what
– like, kind of which side was less excited about the other? Because there's always one, right? Like,
right.
It's either Rule doesn't see it and doesn't really want the baggage, or Casey's just like, this isn't the right system, or I just don't see, like, the opportunities here.
Right. And so, I don't know. This is an interesting one to try to really get a sense of who walked out of the meeting, not happy isn't the right word, but like who felt a little less like ugh about it.
Yeah, and I guess who wanted the separation more? And I'd say it's usually the player. It's usually the player, but
I don't know. In this situation, I don't. My guess is maybe it was. I don't know. My guess is Rule in one way, shape, or form told him Jeff Sims is going to be the guy, or I cannot guarantee you the spot, which in essence is kind of...
Yeah, one of two. Like, he basically had to have said one of two things.
One of those two.
There's no way it's like, hey, we saw Jeff Sims, and like, we think you're the guy, in case he's like, I think I'm going to transfer. Like,
right, yeah.
That is ruled out. I will rule that out of common sense. But will it be, we can't guarantee you the spot, or... you're going to be number two.
But
those are very different things.
But to circle back to what you said at the start, it is so interesting, though, that if this was in the cards, which it had to have been, right? Like, if Rule couldn't guarantee... I find it hard to believe that Rule guaranteed him to be the starter in December, and now in April has gone back on that. Maybe he has. I just wonder, is... Sometimes I wonder if in the portal you're better to get into it early or really late. Like you wonder now if teams are more like, there are some teams that are desperate to find a guy, and just because the timing of this is interesting for Casey. I mean, he is going to be a highly sought after dude. For somebody.
Whoever went through a spring and their quarterbacks looked bad, like, Casey's their guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, like, you miss that initial window of... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe, like I said, maybe...
I don't know. I'm trying...
I don't know. That's such a unique spot to be in, coming after spring, you know, and then now it's like, on your last year, coming off an injury... and you have a fall camp to learn a system and get ready to play. That's quick.
Not to mention, and Sip has said this, and you would assume as much, that I bet Casey's got a large NIL deal.
Yeah.
So he's walking away from a large NIL deal that probably got, I don't know, renegotiated isn't the right term. But my guess is... when he decided to stay, because there was a chance he was going to go pro, there was a chance he was going to transfer. The 1890 initiative probably, you know, said, here's what we can give you. And And again, to then walk away from that, or for the circumstances to change enough to walk away from that, it's just, I'd love to know how all
there's
this unfolded.
Be contingencies, like you sign that, but like you don't get paid till, you know.
Right.
Obviously, as time goes by, performance, like I don't think it's totally about performance incentive, but it's like.
I would think if you leave, there's got to be some clause in there.
Yeah, you have to do the things that are part of the agreement, which are probably public appearances and, you know. You got to
be on the Nebraska football team.
You got to be on the team, number one. So I think all the money goes back if you're not on the team.
Oh, yes. I would. My guess is the one, you know, clause that makes this whole thing null and void is you not being on the Nebraska.
You transfer after spring.
You get $0, 0 cents. How much does this alter how you view next year?
Quite a bit, because now it's like you're right now the shift is like, I had in my mind, I'm predicting Casey Thompson to be the quarterback.
So was I.
And Sims as the competitor that was a real threat, and there was going to be the QB battle, and I kind of thought the veteran Casey would start out, and then Sims would be like kind of on his heels all year. Like
right.
Sort of there. And now you have to shift into Jeff Sims is our guy mode. What does he do well? The offense is going to shape around him now.
Right.
And he's a true dual threat. You know, like he looked pretty good in spring. It was our first glimpse of him, and you know, initial reports have been good. He looked nice. He looks like a good athlete. I just, you know, we haven't seen him play others. But.
He's not completely inexperienced.
No,
like he's played.
Yeah,
he is not as old and experienced as Casey is. So I don't want to paint Jeff Sims out to be this guy that has never thrown a meaningful pass in any game at all. That is not true. But I'm more on your side of this does impact how I view next year.
Yeah.
Because of two reasons. Number one, we've all fallen victim to the new girl in class, the new shiny toy that walks in and you get seduced by the unknown. I've fought, whether it was Tanner Lee or whoever, like I've fallen victim to that to the point where I now am more gravitating towards the known commodity. And any way you want to slice it, Casey Thompson is the more known commodity of the two. And to me, this is the big thing. Unless you're great running the football with a great offensive line and a really good running back, at some point, you got to be able to stand in the pocket and make a big boy throw, make big boy throws, whether it's a third down, whether it's a red zone, whether it's a deep ball where you have an opportunity, guy gets a step, you got to hit him. You got to be able to make those throws. I don't think Nebraska is good enough on the offensive line or at running back to maul people for four quarters for 12 games. And I don't know if Sims, maybe he can, I don't know if Sims can make those throws that we're talking about. I know Casey can. Now, again, I don't want to make this out to be Casey's the greatest player of all time, but we saw Casey make big throws.
Yeah, he made a lot of those, like, you know, third and long, third and, like, bad situation. You know, we saw, like, I just saw the intangibles of a winner in Casey, like a tough winner that, like, I trusted late in the game. I trusted in the 2-minute drive. You know, with Sims, it's I think that's really like throws a nice little ball. Really
yeah.
Good looking athlete. He's got experience, but the like where are his intangibles going to develop? Can he develop the sort of like decision making, control the ball? You know, making big boy throws when I need to make them. Those sort of intangibles that separate quarterbacks.
Right.
Does he have the ability to improve on those? Because I think he was a good, not close to great quarterback at Georgia Tech. He is a really good athlete. And is there room to make some sort of jump to be from like that average to good quarterback to like a good to great quarterback?
Agree. And because even like, you know, it's lost in the shuffle of the Georgia Southern loss that, you know, what because the defense was the prevailing coming out of that game. And I know it's Georgia Southern, but I'm going to make my point here. Like, when we walked out of that game, it was like, what is wrong with the defense? And Frost is fired, yeah. Right? Casey Thompson threw for 318 yards and, like, time and time again, like, made timely responses, drove the ball down the field, like, came up clutch. And the other thing is, it was Trey Palmer, but, like, every time you had to make the bomb throw, he didn't miss very much.
No.
And you get, what you find out is those opportunities, guy gets it, you scheme a play, guy gets a step on him, you got to fucking make that throw. And he made them at an alarmingly high rate.
I just, like I said, we lost a lot of games last year, and I walked away feeling good about Casey Thompson.
Right.
Like, because he was doing what I felt like was his part, and there were just a lot of people on the team that really were not consistently doing theirs.
Right.
But like I said, that's where, like, it's going to be weird, because I think we developed that trust for, like, what we know of Casey Thompson, and now we don't have it with Jeff Sims, and, you know, he's got to earn that, too. That's part of earning it for the fan base.
Yeah.
We got to see you out. It doesn't take long. It could be one or two games we go, this guy's got it. Like,
yeah, and it's entirely possible. And listen, like you said, he looks the part. He throws a decent-looking ball. He's a good athlete. He can run. Like, it's not like Sims is just a terrible-looking prospect or anything like that.
No, he's an NFL body.
Yes, he looks like a real player. You can do worse than having Jeff Sims as your day one starter. But I just felt like the better option for your day one starter was Casey Thompson. That was just me.
Or having him in the cupboard I don't mind quarterback competition, because I think it forces people to elevate. I don't know. So people have different opinions on that. I think there's others that they want their guy to take control. And so we'll find out more about maybe the dynamics of why this happened.
I'm so curious. I'd love to know what changed, what was said. You know, there was an exit interview. What went down in that conversation exactly? I don't think there's anything, any ill will here, any sort of something that's like, boy, what went wrong here? I don't think anybody, like, out of nowhere, Casey came to him and said, I'm out of here. Like,
no,
I have
a, you know what? Matt Rhule doesn't know Casey anything.
Right.
Matt Rhule's building his team. And, you know, that's part of this transition is, you know, you got to find out what you want to do, and people got to be on board with that. And
sometimes it's better to do that with your handpicked guy. Who's also younger. And because does Sims have 2 years of eligibility?
I think he has two for sure.
Because he got the COVID year back.
Maybe he could do a third, but I think he's played 2 years. I think at Georgia Tech.
I think he was there for three.
I think he played.
Yeah. Yes, right.
So he would have at least two here, I think.
Yeah. I'm trying to. Let's see what Google's got for us here. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go into Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. According to that, Jeff Sims has 3 years of eligibility left.
Okay, there you go.
So, according to the... So, The other thing I was thinking about, you ready for like now getting way into the weeds of, yeah. I also talked about this in a pod where I'm just throwing spaghetti at a wall. I also wonder, now I do feel like there things have really cooled off with Dylan Raiola. Again, like we said, at last check, Dylan Raiola was at a bar making out with Georgia. At one point, Georgia and USC and Dylan Raiola were triple kissing.
And our good friends came up and said, it doesn't mean anything, man. Don't worry. He's just going through a phase.
He's just drunk.
He's just going through a phase.
It's just a thing. He still loves you.
He's had too much to drink. He's just a phase. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything.
But I also wonder, another reason why I kind of liked Casey Thompson was how clear of a path it made for Dylan.
Yeah.
Casey's 1 year. Dylan, then it is your spot. Now, what if Sims comes in here and plays pretty good? Like, Dylan, I've always felt like if Dylan's going to go to Georgia or USC, or like he's willing to compete for those positions, yeah, at those spots, for as much as this hurts to say for how much we love Nebraska, I think if Dylan's coming to Nebraska, he ain't trying to compete for a starting spot at Nebraska.
No, but I think that's I think that's fair, but I don't think like, you can't put Sims in the level of the quarterbacks that they have at USC and Georgia right now, probably.
Well, no, I know, but I wondered, you know, you're trying to paint as inviting of a picture as possible for Dylan Raiola.
Sure.
And so I don't know. I also wondered about that. I don't think you can make decisions based on a chance. If this happens, we want to create a scenario where we're looking as good. You know, I don't think you can do that, but
I think it's too, like, that's too hard to say because, like, what if Sims plays and plays poorly this year? Then, like, Raiola's in the same position as if it was Casey. You know what I'm saying?
For sure,
like,
yeah.
So I don't think that matters as much. I think it only matters, to me it matters if Georgia and USC have a freshman and sophomore that are unbelievably talented, that would potentially dissuade you from going there, unless he's so confident that he doesn't care. To me, then he doesn't care where he goes. He wants to go where he wants to go.
Right.
So if he's worried about competition, I'd be more worried about Georgia and USC than I would be Nebraska's competition right now.
Right. I guess that's kind of my point in a roundabout way of, like, I think he's willing. Like, if he goes to those places, it's like there's an inherent understanding, like, there are other elite players here.
Yeah.
I think if he's going to Nebraska, He is like, listen, I ain't coming here to compete for a star. If I'm coming here, I'm the guy.
Well, I think if you're getting the number one prospect in the country, there's a good chance.
But whatever, this is nonsense. I just was thinking about all, like, the entire quarterback picture of everything right now, because it's interesting how much this quarterback situation has changed. We were just here a couple days ago talking about how there were 6 scholarship quarterbacks on the roster. There are now 3. Like, in 1 week, Casey's gone, Richard Torres is gone, and Logan Smothers is gone.
Yeah.
And so now, next year, you're going into the season with Sims, get your hands off my Heine, Heinrich Harburg, and then Chuba.
Yeah.
Not a terrible trio, but at the same time, Chuba certainly didn't look great last year. Heine's never thrown a you know, you're one hit away from Heine and Chuba being your quarterbacks.
Well, and that's the part that's kind of scary is, like,
and you're going to run the quarterback.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, the experience was in Thompson and Smothers, and the extreme arm talent was in Torres. And so it's like, man, that quarterback room looked comfortable going into spring, and I'm getting a little less comfortable with it. Like, those three only. Like, yeah, if Sims goes down, it's like, we got 2 puppies out there. Like, that are, I mean, Chuba's played a little bit, but.
But again, Chuba didn't look good last year. No. And that's putting it very politely.
Yeah, it was a lot of scrambles.
Oh, my God. I mean, it was not good.
Yeah.
There were some of the most, I've seen some inept quarters of football. Some of the quarters of football last year, quarterbacked by Chuba collectively, were some of the most inept quarterbacking.
It, like, just felt tense and scattery
and
like
no prayer of,
there was like the poise, it felt like there was no poise. You just, like, you know, like,
right,
like, you think about the way Tom Brady plays. It's like Tom Brady barely moves, Darts are all over the field. Chubb is everywhere, right? Like, there's like, not that he doesn't, he's not like a, has a chance to be a decent player. It's just like, he doesn't have that like, ooh, like, okay, this is how you play the position right now. He doesn't know how to do that yet.
Yeah, he's things are still moving fast. He's got happy feet. His brain's moving too quick. You can just see, you know, like, there's just an element of dudes that are in the pocket and they're just chilling.
They're just statuesque. Dun,
Otis
dun,
Redding
dun.
Sitting on the dock of the bay is like playing in their head. With him, it's
Thinking
like
in the morning sun. And Chubbis hears that. What's that? That
he's listening to.
No, wake up! Wake up! Oh, no, 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 no. You know, just, he's like, oh, God, he's just. Back to Brace.
What's that? Is that called Chop Suey? Is that what that song is called?
It is like some, you know.
I don't know why. Maybe just because it's because of Chubba. I thought of Chubbawamba. Like that. One of those two songs is going on where Casey was listening to Otis Redding.
More.
You want an Otis Redding mind, not a. So I don't know what's the quarterback situation's now interesting. The other thing that's interesting is I wonder where Casey Thompson's going to go. I mean, there's been people have talked about other Big Ten schools. I heard Sam McEwen mention Northwestern.
See, like a Northwestern, you know, there's a couple of those schools that you feel like are always struggling for quarterbacks that will absolutely take Casey Thompson.
Or you wonder if they feel like, is his name Satowski, the Minnesota quarterback? Like, does...
Oh, we have to face Casey Thompson the first game.
Does Row the Boat think that Casey's maybe a little better than the guy he has? I don't know. There's some SEC schools and Arizona State and the Pac-12. Like, somebody... There's going to be
Casey
some...
Casey will find a home.
Yes.
He's like the hired gun you want.
The other thing I was thinking about, as I'm just now, I'm just a stream of consciousness here. And this is something I thought about with Ryan Nemhard, the Creighton guy, the Creighton point guard that transferred, is sometimes, and even with Adrian Martinez, it's easy when you're, you know, when you're going through the process. Now, you committed when you were like out the womb, like Frank Solich was holding you. He was like, you want to come? You took the binky. I was like, I commit. You want to come, Bo? All right. Change his diaper and you're a Husker. But, you know, there's that cliche line of like, it's not a four-year decision, it's a 40-year decision.
Yeah.
And when you're 18, you can't see past Friday night. You're like, but there's a kegger Friday night, right? So that's what...
What's that?
40 years, like... I'll be like 180 years old in 40 years. But I think about with Casey Thompson... Like, the reality is, and I don't mean this to be mean, you know who doesn't have a home necessarily in Lincoln anymore? Adrian Martinez. Like, you leave.
They're not, you're just, not thought about
you're,
the same
you're not, you go rock Kansas State purple. Like, it's just, it changes things. Yeah. Which changes your prospects on, I mean, we've both benefited greatly from where we went to school, playing, and then leveraging that profile, those relationships, all that stuff into careers.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people do, former Huskers, former Blue Jays, former whatever. And in 1 year, it'd be interesting to see what he wants to do, because I also could have seen a world where if Casey, having Lincoln, Nebraska, and Nebraska be your home, and having Matt Rhule in your corner, if he wants to coach, if he wants to whatever, like, those aren't bad options to think about either.
Yeah.
But I also can understand how you're just thinking about, you're viewing everything through the lens of a player I want to play right now.
He thinks, like, this is my year. I'm going to...
This is it. This is my last year.
I don't know if he has NFL aspirations, but maybe he thinks he just needs the right situation and it's the unlock that shows that he's an NFL guy. I mean... Maybe that's where he's at.
Or he knows this is it,
yeah.
And I'm on my last year of playing football in my life. I want to play football.
Could be.
So there's also that.
You know, maybe he could be a guy that plays Canadian League or one of those other. I mean, these XFL other leagues,
or something like that. I don't.
He could be one of those guys
for sure. So there you go. I mean, we're about 30. Almost 40 minutes in here. I mean, anything we're missing with it? I mean, I think it's there's a lot to this, but it's also fairly straightforward. You know what I mean?
It is, but you know what? You mentioned, that quarterback room has gotten significantly smaller.
Yes.
Like, almost, you know, like, three quarterbacks is, you got to have three.
Right.
We've all seen it. We've seen two quarterbacks in a game go down. Like, that's, you got to have three, right? But, like, you usually like to have then, like, a couple of the younger guys kind of in that, you know, or a good walk on fourth, fifth, you know, like, it's nice to have four. Like, so we have three. And Chuba, I always feel like I didn't even expect him to be here.
Right. Who's to say Chuba? I mean, there's a world where Chuba leaves.
Yeah, then you got Heine and you got Sims only. And you're like, woo. That's all. Like, then we're slim pickings right now in terms of depth. Just in terms of depth. Like, you always want to have more than too few. But
so, yeah. This alters a little bit how – I'm not saying Nebraska's not going to win a game next year. I'm not saying that. But it alters – Casey was, to me, the most known commodity. And we've seen over the years, like I said in my little rant, of like at some point, unless you are Wisconsin where you have Jonathan Taylor and a bunch of sequoia trees and you're just you can line up and just maul people for 12 games, your quarterback at some point – probably a couple times a game, needs to stand in the pocket, let his you-know-what hang, and make big boy throws.
Yeah,
I saw Casey do that. I haven't seen Jeff Sims do that. I'm not saying Jeff Sims can't do that, but I have a for sure known commodity over here with Casey and a little bit of an unknown over here, and I'm going to gravitate towards what I know. I've gotten too seduced by what I don't know over the years here.
And Nick, we have... Jeff Sims is the guy. Now, we know that. Like, he's the guy. Jeff Sims starts out with Minnesota and Colorado. That's not the easiest way to start your career.
Especially Minnesota.
Minnesota? Yeah, I mean, Prime's going to have his boys, too, though. Prime's going to have some players. But
oh, yeah.
But, yeah, Minnesota is always a tough play for us. They just are. They just play solid football.
Oh, PJ Fleck got Nebraska's number a little bit right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got to go there. I mean, it's going to be – I mean, Jeff Sims, that's where he's going to – he's got a chance, though, to earn a ton of respect fast. Not, hey, you know, it takes a half a season. I see you play four scrub teams, a couple of – it's like it's Big Ten, like, historical rival in Colorado with Deion. With prime time coaching.
You go beat Colorado and Prime.
And you can already see there's something happening. There's like Rule kind of made the like, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
There's little comments. I think there's like, because maybe Prime realized like the historical tension between our two schools. Something feels like it's reignited.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the media grasping at things or if like there's, even I saw this, like, and this is maybe, I don't know if, did you see there was a big story in The Athletic of all the mass exodus? I mean, Prime has run off. There's now been over 50 players that have transferred since he's taken over. Yeah. There's been over 20 since the spring game.
Dang.
And he's had, I mean, there was a quote from a offensive lineman whose dad played at Colorado in the 90s, who he got a call on Sunday after the spring game to come to the office, and then his position coach met him and said, hey, I want you to hear it from me. You're going to get cut. I don't want you to hear it from Coach Prime first. You're going to get cut. Like, this is fucking Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Like, that's how Prime's running this thing. But there's even within that story, there was a guy that hit the portal who was frustrated that he couldn't get practice film to show other schools that he's trying to get recruited by. And apparently Deion will not release any practice film. Well, did you see then yesterday there was like a whole highlight montage reel video of Richard Torres, all practice tape, all like, and you just want like, you know, and then of course, like the two fan bases immediately go, ooh, we got, we're comfortable enough to have show practice film where your coach is such an asshole, he won't show practice film. Like, right now, everything is like a thing between these two programs.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I don't know why. I just feel like that's good to have that rivalry come back. But yeah, Deion is it's to be determined how he's taken some brash swings. And, you know, Deion's a guy that is one of the few people on earth that's probably capable of doing it and getting away with it.
Right.
But like he is going for something. Like he is at least trying – I just don't know that is
I don't know
how
that works.
It's not very college football. No. Like, he's trying to do the NFL thing, and that's all good and fine until you realize that, like, well, a lot of these former players who have son, you know, like, and their kid, if they want to play there and they're doing work, like, usually, like, I don't know, man, that's just touchy.
I guess it's touchy when you don't want legacies,
you don't want, like, does
you're
he
straight
care
up
about
cutting
the history?
Dudes
does
and
he care about the history? He might not care about the history. And that's all great until the fans that do care about the history and support and pay for your, you know, like, you have to think about that. Matt Rhule is thinking about that.
Well, and you need a full roster, not just 22. Yeah. And you right now you could negatively recruit Deion and paint him in the perception of Deion doesn't care about you. The second you're expendable, you are gone.
Yeah, Deion cares. You could say Deion cares about Deion.
Deion cares about Deion. If you want to play with a coach who only cares about himself, go play for Deion.
That's how I would recruit. I actually think Deion is like seemingly showed like I don't know that he doesn't care about the kid. So I'm just saying
saying the you could paint the perception of it looking like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
there were quotes from people in the Athletic story where he goes, one player was like, I don't think he knew the names of half the players he dismissed. And a lot of them saying, like, this was the first time I'd ever talked to Coach Prime was when he cut me. The first time I'd ever met with him was when he, like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I mean,
that's the stuff that I don't, you know, you don't know, but it seems like he's Deion just doesn't act like he cares about.
Well, the other thing too is this is a little bit of like there is a part of this that is this is a byproduct of the new world we're living in.
Yes.
Where because in some ways it's a little hypocritical if the players can use the portal to improve their situation in as they see fit. Why is it not okay for a coach to do that?
But this is the world that's been opened up. Like, once you open up the doors, there is a movement one way, and then it swings back the other way against you, right?
Right.
So this is the counter swing is Deion, this, you know, well-known coach, kind of is taking the, like, well, if you don't have to care, I don't have to care type of approach, where –
if all y'all are going to have no loyalty and all y'all being all the players,
yeah.
If loyalty's gone, cool. Loyalty's gone.
Well, but now here's what's going to happen. If Deion sets the precedent, loyalty's gone, and he does well, and other coaches do that, players have then even less loyalty. And then coaches will have even less
loyalty.
That's
what I'm saying.
It sort of affects each other.
Yes.
And this is the first I've seen of a coach. But this will now, if this works, it will affect. So if this doesn't work, maybe it swings back.
Right.
Maybe people go, that doesn't work very well. And then players go, yeah, maybe we need, you know, like, so it's sort of like, it's an interesting case study to see how will this work out for Deion.
Right. One more thing with this is I do wonder, assuming this is how it works with NIL and the 1890 initiative, I view, like, picture just like a big fucking truck full of money. And it's the big pool of money for the collective.
Yeah.
Someone came in there and took a huge chunk of it and handed it to Casey. I got to assume with Casey leaving, that huge chunk of money goes back into the collective.
Yeah.
So you wonder if this opens up some NIL money for now Nebraska, even though they probably got to have some cuts here. Like, I wonder if now they can go in the portal and go get
a receiver and an O lineman.
Or a D lineman.
D lineman, O lineman, and receiver, go pay somebody.
I wondered that. Like, not necessarily go and get another quarterback. I don't think you do that because
no,
that doesn't
Sims
make because Sims
paid.
Is the guy.
Sims is it, here. He's been
and it's yeah. yeah. But I do wonder now if this frees up some NIL money to go find a impact guy now.
Yeah.
Take some of that money that has gone back into the truck here, and spread it out to somebody else. But
so yeah, the next because the portal is going to be hot for the next couple weeks probably, right?
Like, I think I don't. You have until the 30th. There was the 30th to enter it. I don't know when it closes now or something.
May 30th?
Or no, I thought it was April 30th.
Oh, you only have till April?
Maybe. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But, yeah, I would think things are going to be crazy now for a little bit.
That's
because, again, Nebraska's had a lot of movement, right? I mean, Noah Pola-Gates left. Stephon Wynn left.
I didn't see that Wynn left.
Stephon Wynn left. So they're thin. They're Stephen King The D-Line Collective, their movie night was like, all right, D-Line, here's our movie. Stephen King, Thinner.
Thinner.
So Stephon Wynn, a.k.a. Thinner, he left.
He left.
He must have.
I don't know what the hell that's all about.
That means he's not going to. That means they had him. That's a bad sign for him that he transferred from Alabama to nice. Here. And that means they didn't think he could play.
He wanted to start.
Starter here.
No.
But, you know, I watched Wynn last year, and I just thought, like, there was nothing, like, he just never stood out to me. Like, he never made a play that I thought was.
Did he ever make a play as good as MJ Sherman's play in the spring game?
No.
Like, no. I don't know.
But he's just like, we don't have that many big guys. I mean, he was, like, actually a big guy.
For sure. Oh, I don't like it. I mean, Stephon Wynn.
Yeah.
You know, cue up player, baby, come back.
Yeah.
that's what I want to play as I'm.
Well, no, Paula Gates, like. I mean,
dude came in like
he was Mr. Hype and
look
like,
here,
could not
Ed Reed, all y'all, fuck all y'all, I'm the truth, and then yeah, it's like
couldn't get on the field to save his life. No. So I mean that's all you need to know there. Wish him well, but yeah, I mean those aren't losses that are like those guys weren't going to play anyway. So
yeah, you know what I still have to remind myself is that Ernest Hausman left, and then I like my heart breaks a little bit. I wonder how he did it this spring. At Michigan. I wonder, I'm going to have to Google that and see what kind of, if he's over there getting his third string game right, playing player baby come back.
Maybe we need to play baby.
I think there's a lot of baby come back going on right now. So there you go. Again, a lot of layers to it, but at the same time, fairly simple and straightforward. I hope we hear from Rule. I don't know if we'll hear from Rule. Like, I wouldn't think there's any media. There's not going to be any media obligations for him. In some ways, dude, remember last year, Frost did not speak until, like, Big Ten media days.
Yeah.
Like, so there's a, like, we think we're going to hear from Rule. Like, I don't know if we're going to hear from Rule.
Rule just seems like he's more engaged in that world, though. I feel like we'll hear from him.
Yeah, I mean, you lose a guy like, now, Casey wasn't, he wasn't like Adrian Martinez level of, like, high profile guy for years, you know,
yeah.
But still like your QB one from a year ago who had a pretty damn good year leaves. I'm just curious.
Somebody's
what the deal
is. I mean, a reporter will get to him eventually. It's just,
so it's Jeff Sims world and we're just living in it now.
Get ready for the era of Sims and Rule.
Ooh. All right. Well, we did it. Little emergency pod reacting thing. So, do you want me to give you a ride home, or are you gonna run back? Or you're on an adrenaline high?
I'm just gonna run it. Okay,
just gonna run back. Right. Okay, honey, Mark, get set, go.
A Herd at Sports Network production.